You need to get a magnet on your refrigerator, remembering Jim and Saudi as they leave, and pick up one of these as you go. And you can contribute to them online or through the journey. There's lots of ways you can get rid of your hard-earned money, okay? If you have an overabundance or you just need a place to give, we'll help you find a good place to give that will hopefully connect with your heart of where you want to give and why you work in order to be able to give to others. So we don't want to forget them in prayer. And we're going to pray over Jim at the end. And we have a special guest today, two special guests, Jennifer and Cecil. Cecil, I was thinking I'm going to have actually Jim introduce him because they have a longer-term connection. But Cecil is one of those guys I met. And, you know, there's just like, I really liked him immediately. I was like, I had this affection for him that was really neat. And I heard him speak just briefly in Shetland Island, in the town of Lerwick, in the North Sea, north of Scotland, where we've been, I think, four times together now, where Jim grew up, part of his life, and then I heard him speak a little bit, and all I can remember is, number one, I could understand almost nothing that he said, because he forgot there was an American in the crowd, so he was speaking in his dialect, and he'll speak in that for you. It's almost like a whole other language. So there's some words you could hear, but you didn't know what they meant, and then there were some other words that you had never heard before. And so that's the first thing I remember. The second thing I remember, this guy is like just full of God, and how he's speaking and how he's sharing, and his heart is so neat to hear. So I know you've enjoyed him if you got to meet him and his wife yesterday. They flew into Dallas just to see what the Ebola scare was all about. No, they flew into Dallas a couple weeks ago, and they went to a pastor's conference, and then they got up all their nerve, and they drove from Dallas to the Grand Canyon and back here Friday just in time for a Halloween kids party. And so they've done their road trip, saw the Grand Canyon. And but I'm going to have Jim talk about him first. So come on up here, Jim.
I have known Cecil since he was about, 17, something like that? Since he was just a young guy. And this was back when I was leading some youth ministry, and we were doing some outreach and stuff like that. That's when I first came across him. And ever since then, just like Les was saying, you know, when I met him then, I had the same impression of him that Les had, you know, when he first met him, is that here's a guy that's just full of God. And you're going to enjoy listening to him because he's got such a teachable heart and just a humble, kind, and generous heart, as does Jennifer as well. And, of course, she came along later once they got married and all that. So I don't know her as long as I've known Cecil. But it's really cool to have them here today, you know, since it's our last day here. And then Whitney and Shannon, because Whitney was born in Shetland. Shannon had a little excursion to England. Right? We lived there for a while, but we're going to forgive her for that. But to have a little Shetland contingent here, Cecil just has a great heart, so I just hope that, and I want you to know this, by the way, when he starts talking and there's things you don't understand, now I want you to appreciate how hard I have to try to sound like this, because I should sound a little bit more, not quite, but almost like that. So just if you'll open your heart and just receive what Cecil has to share with you, I'm sure it's going to be a blessing. And so why don't you welcome him? Come on up, Cecil.
As we say back home, now Dan. That means, how are you? In worship, I just start crying. And I had a picture of bird cages and all these wee birds in it, and they were really scared to leave, even though the doors were open. And I think this is a really safe place, and I think what you're doing here is really safe. I think what God's going to start to do is he's going to bring a whole bunch of people who life has caused them to be in a cage, and they're too scared to get out again. And when the way that you love and look after folk, they're going to slowly want to come out of that cage. So my journey has been one of trying to get out of this cage. And I've had lots of issues to overcome. And I thought I'd... God gave me a poem years ago. It's in dialect, so I'll say it and then I'll translate, because you might not even understand it. And it goes like this. Never ant die basil, white dice travagan, ne mer han vegan. I hear bull for dee de lindy sell a thin, what will elvis be send? is to clear for this, a place where the burn hurt is made soft and the sacred heart is made whole. So what it means is, because I don't suppose you understood any of that, do not be overcome by a struggle. Stop your wandering, no more procrastination. I have a place for you where you will be always blessed. Are you prepared for this? A place where the hard heart is made soft and the hurting heart is made whole. And so my journey has been one of trying to figure out what that means, because I'm being called kind of into the prophetic thing, which is always a bit weird. And so God will give you that, and then he'll take 10 years to explain to you what it really means. And you actually begin to really go, oh, okay, I get it. So I guess my story began when I was about 16 or that, when I met Jim and that. And I'd been brought up in Christianity, but it was really dry and dull and old-fashioned. And then I saw with him and other people that was doing stuff with him, I was like, there's something else that's more exciting and full of life, and I want that. And the first thing that really touched me was back home, they had an event called the Gym Challenge, which meant Jesus and me. And there's this two crazy English guys came up, and they wanted to pray for us. And this guy took a hand on my head like this. I was like, speak in tongues. And I was like, what on earth are you on? And suddenly, I began to speak in tongues. And I was like, what is this? And I began to seek after what had just happened to me. So I began to hang out with some interesting folk. And a mate of mine was going away to a conference. I said, I really want you to come too. And I was like, okay, I'll come with you. So, because I was at that point doing furniture design in England. So it was kind of on the way down. So I went to this event, and this one part of the meeting was where we had to go up to the front and take off our shoes, because this woman thought we were going to have a holy moment and they were going to pray for us. And I was like, this sounds a bit fun and bizarre, but okay, let's do it. So I went up, and there was a line of folk, and she went along to pray. I had never seen this before, but when she prayed, she also fell down in the spirit, like totally like, blah, blah. I was like, this is really weird, and I'm almost next. Next person, same thing. I'm like, this is really nuts. When they get to me, of course, nothing happens to me. So I'm like, why is it always nothing happens to me? So her husband comes over, and he begins to pray. And I end up on a kind of my knees right down, and there's a groan going on inside of me, and I'm like, this is really weird. What is this? Eventually, I found it in Romans 8 that says that the Spirit will intercede for you with groans you can't understand. So quite often for me, I experience the supernatural first, and then I have to go and find it in the Scriptures. And sometimes it can be a bit odd, but you're like, oh, it is actually really what's there. So, but that event unlocked for me a way to encounter God in prayer that was really quite exciting. And there's quite a few different things I could speak about. One of them I was going to speak about was I really don't like confrontation at all. It's not in my nature. And there was a friend back home was going to share her testimony, and this guy was trying to say to her, don't say any of the stuff that's supernatural. So I was in High Wycombe in England, and I was speaking to Jennifer on the phone, and I was like, put him on the phone, he can't do that. And I went off on one. I really did. I was like, you can't control people. How dare you? And I got off the phone, and I was like, oh, you're not meant to do that, are you? That's a bit, hey, look at the time, 1:11. Sorry, there's a thing we've been speaking about. I might get onto that later on. So I was really mad at this guy. And then I went to try and fall asleep, and I couldn't sleep, and I got up, and there was this presence came into the room, and it freaked me out. I was like, what is going on? And when I was in the middle of this experience, I felt God saying, I'm giving you the heart of an intercessor. And I was like, what does that really mean? That's a bit weird. But it took me ages to kind of figure out that it's good for us to confront things that are to control and stop God from doing what he wants to do. Can you still understand me okay? I feel like I'm going to speak in dialect here because I'm getting a bit nervous. Okay. So, I had an amazing season of all this kind of stuff going on. And then I moved back home. And we started going to a really good wee church and that. But I've come to realize that some Christianity is more focused on the form and the structure than the life and the heart of the people. And I didn't understand that was what was going on because the people were lovely. The guy seemed really alive. But he said to me, I want you to forget about all this cool stuff that's been going on with you and just come and help us here. And I was like, well, okay, there's stuff going on here. That's good. And after 3 years, I completely dried up. And I didn't understand why. It was because I had stopped tapping into how I got my life for God to serve somebody else. Do not ever do that. It doesn't work. Because if you do that, you'll end up getting completely disillusioned. So we left that place and didn't go anywhere for a while because I was just so fed up with how I always felt like people were trying to stick me like a round peg into a square hole or the other way around. You ever feel like that? And so the church that we go to now, back then it was called it was ECF. I really felt I just started going there. And I kind of sort of played the guitar, but not very well at all. But I thought I'd start to play. And I thought they'd make me just sit at the back for like a year, and then I might do something. But they didn't have anybody else to do it one day, so I had to lead worship. And I was like, how am I going to do that? But because I'd had all those awesome times in prayer, all I did was did that with a guitar, and it worked. And they were like, you're good at this. And I was like, really? Okay. So then, of course, I had to do that all the time. So it was good. And going there was great because it restored to me the gift that God had worked on me before. I found a bunch of people that I thought were okay and cool. And then the problem is when you are prophetic, you tend to see things. So the thing I saw was I had a vision where I was in this awesome, beautiful church. And then the whole thing fell down. I was like, oh, no. And all the stones and that. And I was trying to rebuild this. And God said to me, I don't want you to do that. I want you to come. There's this green, wide-open space. I want you to explore it. And I was like, what does that mean? So if you see things like that, your first thing is you tend to want to share it instantly. And I was like, well, this is way too explosive. I can't do that. So I thought, well, maybe it's just God speaking to me about how I'm having a new way of understanding what it's about and be a bit more free or whatever. So I just waited for a while. And then things start to happen and we're touching that I could see it was going to lead towards a split. And I was like, oh, no, this is bad. And then one day I got up on a Monday and I've got this whole collection of cool books. And I felt God saying, the books, you have to put them away and do what they say. And I was like, what does that mean? So I got them in a box and stuck them in my loft. And the next day I heard all the stuff had taken place on the Sunday. And to me it seemed to be like a catalyst. What you've seen is actually going to take place. And I was like, oh, come on, God, no. And on the Friday he says to me, I want you to resign. This real deep peace came over me. You must resign. And I was like, that is nuts. Nobody's going to understand this. So I wrote this email, sent it away. And I didn't really hear back from anybody. So suddenly I was in this green open space, which I thought would be awesome. But then you realize you've got all these issues to do with rejection and blah, 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 blah. And I thought, but I really want to be connected to folk. I just don't know how to, because I want to be connected to somewhere that understands my heart. I'm fed up of being in a place where it's all about our structure and I believe in submission, but when it's the wrong kind, it's bad as well. So, I didn't go to church for a while, and then friends invited me to go and hear. Do you know John and Carol Arnott from Toronto? Do you know them? Maybe not. Well, there's this couple that they taught, and they were coming over to Troon, so I went to see them, And before I went, I was in my workshop, and I had this really awesome time of prayer. I was like, this presence was so strong. And I felt I was meant to meet this little guy that I knew was going to be there. And I thought, well, how am I going to do that? Because folk have told me to meet this guy before. And I did send him an email, but he didn't reply. So I don't know how to do that, God. But I thought, okay, you'll take care of that. So I went to this event and I worshiped the same thing. This awesome presence came. And I was like, this is cool. This is amazing. And then somebody came up to me and said, I saw an angel standing in front of you. I was ministering to you. And the one guy that's really into that, understands that, is this guy called Stevie. He's the guy you should meet. That was the guy to meet. And I was like, awesome. So that was cool. And God began to restore to me things about being part of his kingdom. But I was really quite hurt. And then these crazy guys came over and taught on, what was it he did again? The Liberty Project. And I saw someone that I thought, this is awesome. There is real life in this. This is going to... And I want to thank you so much, because you're probably the first people that's really just wanted to know me without any strings attached in Christianity. And that have given more than... You tend to find when you go somewhere, it's always like they want to get something first. But you guys, like, you've given me something first. I'm like, so what do you want me to do? Nothing? Are you serious about this? Are you really sure this is the way it works? So, where am I at now? Maybe 6 months ago, I felt God was saying, I want you to become a life-giving spirit. And I was like, that sounds a bit new agey, doesn't it? But I found it in the scriptures. It's in the scriptures, so that's good. That made me feel at peace. 1 Corinthians 15, 45, is it? So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-given spirit. And I've come to realize that where I'm at now is that Christ in me is the hope of glory. That if I'm walking with him, wherever I go, life should come. It's not about being a pastor or a prophet or all these things. These are important. And they need to function. But each one of us is called to be a life-given spirit. And so I've been kind of experimenting with this in a way, if you're allowed to do that. And I'm going to share it again, because see, it's 1111 again. I've been seeing numbers like this. On that clock there, it says 111. And I see it all the time. It's really freaky. And I was like, God, what on earth does this mean? Am I a nut or what? And I'd be asking folk, and they were like, you're weird, Cecil. It means nothing. So 4 years ago, we went on holiday to Orlando. And on the way home, I felt God saying, read Deuteronomy. And I started in chapter 1, verse 3. God said to Moses, on the first day, on the 11th month, you must begin to transition the people from being in the wilderness to being in Israel, the new place we're going to go to. Oh, that's interesting, because I've been feeling that that's what God's going to do in me anyway. Maybe when I see this, it's going to make me think, actually, I need to move. I need to believe that I can become like the fullness of what he has for me. And then I find as well an awesome scripture, which is Hebrews 11, verse 1, which says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. And when you read that whole chapter, it's all about people who saw something and believed in it and walked that way. And they lived out of a whole different way with God. And then I found something else that was quite interesting. Because I quite like the whole Hebrew way of understand stuff. And in Hebrew, Alpha is Aleph. And in Hebrew as well, instead of like with us, you write an A and it's just an A. With them, they can write out Aleph is like as A and an L, which is a Lamed and a P sort of shape thing. And if you and in Hebrew, they're no numbers. So Alpha is one and it goes all the way up. And if you add up what Aleph means, it's 111. And for them, it's all about God and the supernatural. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. And so the really interesting thing is that your address here is 111. Weird, isn't it? And I was showing Jim photographs. We got in the car to come to the airport. And I looked at my speedometer, and it was 111, 111. And I was like, this is weird. So it's kind of cool to know that we're maybe on the right track of what God's doing. So, do we have to pray for Jim and that?
I'm going to do communion and then have you come back up here with me, okay?
Okay.
All right. So we're going to do communion. It's a And so if you can get as close as you can, there's some chairs up here because we're going to pray over Jim and Sadi as they sit right here in just a minute. And that was great, Cecil. Thank you. We look forward to finding out what the 111 for you, exactly what it means and where it's taking you. So thank you for that. So what I want you to do, I want you to get together, gather with some people, and I want you to pour as much as you can in your cups. I don't want you to limit it to just a little communion bed, okay? I want you to pour as much as you can. Get some crackers out. Don't just take one cracker. Take a couple crackers. Spread your napkin out. Spread your napkin out. Spread the crackers out. Get together. I'll take a couple here. Big full thing of juice. You know, I understand we do communion with smaller elements, but when we think of communion, it's with a meal. It's part, when we see it in Corinthians, it's part of a love feast. It's a bunch of people together eating, drinking. And in Corinthians, we see one group being poor, not being hungry, the other group getting stuffed and drunk, literally, in Scripture. But when it's instituted in Scripture, there's closeness. When Jesus does the Passover, there's closeness. There's connection. There's intimacy. And I was thinking about that as we come in here, is that we always, even though we have larger cups, we almost always pour this much in our cup. And we take one cracker. And it feels a little bit weird if we just took the bottle and drank out of it, if we filled our cup up three or four times, even as I'm talking. So even as I'm talking, just take a drink. Just take a drink, drink it all, pour some more. It's fellowship, it's connection, it's intimacy, it's closeness. Because as different as we all are, it's different ages and colors and socioeconomic and backgrounds, different levels of pain, different levels of relationship. We are connected by one thing. And that is that one thing that we're going to eat and drink today is the blood of Jesus, the life of Jesus. Connects us to God and it connects us one to another. And we often think that the connection to God is the thing. But even himself, Jesus himself said, as you love others, you love me. As you give to others, you give unto me. As you give to the weakest, the least, the most needy in your bunch, you give to me. It's easy to give to somebody who's already going to give you a gift. It's easy to relate to somebody who can already relate back to you because you went to the same school, you're the same age, you're the same background, you have the same experiences. But as believers, we're connected to one another. And it's intimacy. And that's this morning, I keep hearing intimacy for us. And I just, you don't turn there, but 1 Samuel 18:3, it says, Jonathan loved David. And in chapter 20, it says, Jonathan, the king's son, the guy who's going to become the king, short of David usurping that eventually because of being anointed for that, he says, David, anything you ask, I'll do of you. And then we see in the New Testament, we see Jesus weeping. We see him weeping twice. We see him weeping as he looks over the town that decided not to follow him or to choose him. And then he weeps when he hears that Lazarus is dead. And I'm thinking he's weeping that Lazarus is dead, even though he's been in heaven and he's here now and he knows the ending. I think that he might have known that it just for 72 hours he wouldn't be able to see his friend that he loved, Lazarus. Then he cried for that. And you know, it got to me to thinking as Jim and Saudi are leaving, is that we should be thankful for the pain that we feel that they're leaving. Because if there was no pain, there'd be no connection. If there was no pain, there'd be no connection. It's like when our kids leave. It's either, God, I'm so glad they're out of my house. Or it's like, I miss them. I want them here. I miss them. And no, I wish they could mess up. I wish they were leaving the TV on and the lights and using all my water for showers and eating all my food. Because we miss them. There's intimacy there. And we strive for intimacy, and we try to get it in all the wrong ways. All the sin we talk about, all the sin we're afraid of, it's because that group of people are looking for intimacy. But then what we do is we run to church, and we run to services, and we run to special teaching in special ways, special religious clubs, and look for intimacy, and we don't get any more intimacy than they do out there in addiction. And so the third option is that God option. That we choose intimacy with him that reflects intimacy with one another. So I'm in his presence, and I think of him as he's thinking of me, and I'm thinking, and I read scripture, and I hear him, and I hear how much he loves me, and I love him back only because he loves me, and then I begin to love others and live out in front of them with no shame. And then I can say, I love Jim Sim and Saudi. And because I know Jim, I love his girls automatically. It's just an overflowing thing. I don't get to see his girls a lot. But I love them. I love his family. He meets Saudi. I love Saudi. I love her son. It's just because we have that connection and we want that intimacy. We should be looking for, asking for, praying for, believing for intimacy with God and with one another. We should ask for that. We don't go throw ourselves out there willy-nilly to get it and be super vulnerable in wrong ways, but there should be committed relationships, just like in our marriages, just like we have committed relationships to our kids, just like we have committed relationships even at work sometimes where we're working for somebody and we're committed and honoring them. We are looking for spiritually committed relationships. We were created, get this, our original intent was created so we would be intimate one with another. We were created to have conversation, to work together. We were created to have intimacy with God. That was broken. Jesus restores it. So we celebrate this morning. We celebrate even our sadness that Jim and Saudi are leaving. All right? I have a deep sadness. His girls have a deeper sadness. I mean, they really do, right? I hope you do. And I was thinking about y'all, and I was thinking, you know, it would be awful if you were like, okay, bye. Who cares? Not who cares, but okay, we'll see you. It's 4-hour flight or 3.5, but it's still to be thankful, to really be thankful, for y'all to be thankful that you're going to miss them, that you're going to miss your dad and Saudi, to be thankful for that. For us, we know that there's going to be a hole here, don't we? I don't know what we're going to do. I've been praying, God, give me vision so I won't miss Jim and Saudi. Give me vision. Give me something to do. And God's like, no, just be at peace. That it's good to feel this way. It's good. We should be thankful that we've known them, that we've been with them, and it's really not a leaving. It's ascending. So I'm glad you guys are here too, because you guys are sending Jim and Saudi too. And it's a releasing, it's a joyful releasing, but a knowing that we're gonna retain a part of them here and that a part of us is gonna go there. And that's why we give our finances and our prayer and those things. I was thinking that even in that we see in the disciples, so we know that there's thousands and thousands in the crowd, and we know that there's 120 followers, and there's 50 followers, and there's 12 followers. We even know in those 12 closest followers, there's a betrayer, but we know also that in those 12, there's 3 favorites and there's 1. And John describes himself as the one Jesus loves. I think that's brilliant. What if we each described ourselves as I'm the one Jesus loves? What if each of us in here that know Jim described I'm the one that Jim's going to miss? What if we did that? But that's like it gives us a we each have since we don't love Jim with a natural love. He's not our physical brother. He's not our spouse. He's not our dad. He's old enough to be our dad. He's old enough to be some of your kids, to be his kid. But think about that. What if we thought of Jim and Saudi in that way, that they have enough love, since it's a godly love, it's a spiritual connection, that that we're going to miss them the most, that Whitney and Shannon can each say, they miss me the most. I'm their favorite, because it's a godly love. And to be thankful for y'all, that you've had a dad and now a stepmom that loves you so much, that's a huge struggle for them to leave, but when they leave, to be thankful, like all that pain I feel, that what I feel, it's like, I'm glad I feel that, because if I didn't, it would mean there was no intimacy. And with us to feel that, for us to feel that, and to be celebratory and glad, to be both, to hold opposing thoughts, I'm super glad they're going, I'm really gonna miss them. And we can hold both. We're mature Christian individuals. So we're created for intimacy. We're for that spiritual friendship. We get a lot of friendship in a lot of different ways. If you love beer, you have a connection over beer. If you love football, you have a connection over football, like Aubrey and I have together. You know, they're always talking shop when it comes to football. For those of you who don't know, I don't watch football. But Aubrey does watch a little bit every once in a while. So there's all those connection. You can have connection over doctrine and theology. You can have connection over work. But there's a spiritual intimacy that comes from this right here. From this right here, there's a spiritual connection, and we want that connection. We strive for that connection. When we say, I don't like people, we're really saying, I'm afraid to be intimate with anybody. When we say, well, I don't like going to church because, we're really saying, I don't fit, I don't connect, I don't know if I belong. I don't know if I'm safe, like Cecil said. But we chance it all the time, because we're being healed, we're being set free, and we're being sent. We're sending Jim and Saudi to another country. But you're being sent every day into a world that needs healing and wholeness. And it has nothing to do with a church invitation to get them to believe something. It's just constantly offering them the very same freedom and hope that you have, based on this right here. Based not on your doctrine, not on your theology, not on your church experience, not your favorite thing right now, but based on a personal relationship that you have with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All right? So take some bread. Just close your eyes. We're going to thank God for that bread. I think that when Jesus is doing the Passover, I think that he's thinking of when he's breaking the bread and sharing, I think he's thinking of feeding the 5,000. When he takes the bread and he thanks it, and he takes the fish and he gives thanks, he's giving thanks for abundance, for fullness, for freedom. He's giving thanks for everything big and huge and powerful. And this morning, so even as we're here and we're going to pray over Jim and Saudi in a minute, I just want you to, and we give thanks for them, and you guys have shown thanks to Jim and Saudi, and gratitude and hope and kindness and provision for them for this year coming up. But this morning, it's really, we're here to send them off, but we're here to celebrate Jesus. We're here to celebrate a brother that will never, never do us wrong, that always is giving, first and first and first and most, and a Father who loves us. That's the one that sustains us. So just go ahead and break the bread and eat the bread. Take a couple pieces and eat the bread if you'd like. For the physicalness, we take the bread for the physicalness, the tangibleness of Jesus Christ, present on earth here 2,000 years ago, present today, in our midst and within us, in our healing, in our minds, in our emotions, overflowing into our marriages, our parenting, our finances, our jobs, our hopes, and our dreams. And then we take the wine, the symbolic blood of Jesus, and we think of the very real sacrifice of the fullness of his life and the eternity, the new DNA, the new blood flow that we have, connected into spiritual intimacy once again. Remembering that. When I think when Jesus says, remember me, I don't think he's saying remember me as Christ, because he's not crucified yet. I think he's remember me as that friend that you fished with and ate with, who corrected you and rebuked you and loved you, even though I knew everything about you, Remember, just remember that relationship that we have and continue to have based on the blood of Jesus. Go ahead and drink. Well, Father, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your blood and your body, the fullness of your Son's sacrifice for us, and all that it means, and all that it changes. How we think about ourselves, how we think about the world, how we think about relationships in this community, and how we think about Jim and Saudi leaving. It changes everything. That even the sadness is joyful. Even the disconnecting and distance, there's a remembrance that there's a deeper, more powerful, eternal distance, a connection, I'm sorry, that the temporary distance is nothing compared to the eternal connection. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that. Amen. Cecil, if you'll come up here. And Krisha and Jennifer, if you guys can come up here with us too. And, you know, I was praying for you guys the last couple of weeks, and I want you to know that I felt like God showed me an envelope today, and in that envelope were two tickets to Panama City. So whenever you guys want two tickets, these guys will buy you tickets, okay? Anytime you want it, right? We will, right? So you guys are on our minds too. I don't want to cry, but I probably will. I just fair warning, I'm not going to. I just said it was joyful, right? So that is if you guys want, I know you guys plan on going spring break. If you want to go Christmas, New Year, whenever you want to go, we got that covered for y'all. So your kid too. But they're my favorites. No, I'm kidding. So if you guys could stand up just right there. Whitney and Shannon, why don't you guys stand up? Move the chairs back, and I want you guys come down here. Just herd around and put your hands on them somehow. They got new tables here at Main Street Crossing, so it totally changed our configuration, but we're going to just squeeze into them. Lay a hand on them. Put some money in their pockets. Come on in. Oh, we're not going to get over to them. Hold on a second here. Here, Cecil, that's for you. Krisha, why don't you anoint them with oil? Did you want to pray? Okay, all right. Why don't you come up here with your hubby? So excited. You know, we thought Jim and Saudi were leaving earlier, and then when we found out they were waiting, then they were going to be gone, like when Cecil and Jennifer were here, we thought, what a great thing. Coming from Shetland, leaving from Panama, and Jim's been an influence over Cecil's life, and we've connected as churches with their church, and I thought, what a great thing. Just anoint them. All of them. All four of them. And then we're going to have Cecil's going to pray, and then I'm going to pray, and I'm going to close it after I pray, okay? But I want you to know that anything you want to say to Jim and Saudi, I want you to take them, I want you to look them in the face and take some time and say it to them today. And you guys have been so generous to them, and they know that. They know that already, that's assured, but you can give them one last squeeze before you go. And all right, Cecil. Thank you, Father.
Lord, we thank you go before and prepare a place for us. And Lord, we pray you'll prepare a place for them of rest. And Lord, we pray they will not build anything from striving, but from rest. And Lord, we pray that as you expand this place, Lord, as you expand this journey, Lord, Lord, will you just go with them, Lord? We pray for your life to go. Lord, we thank you that they are life-giving spirits, Lord. And Lord, we pray to go and find a place, and I go and love that place, Lord. And love the land and love the people. And Lord, we pray that they will go and open up a way for others. Lord, we thank you, they're pioneers. And we pray, Lord, you go and you'll break open something wonderful, Lord. We thank you for the way that you're going to send them out. And in the scriptures, the apostles were the ones that were sent. And that culture, in Roman times, the apostles were the ones that went to bring a new culture into a place. And Lord, we pray they will go and bring your way into that land, Lord. And they're looking for the folk of peace, so Lord, we pray you will connect them with them. And Lord, we just look forward to what you're going to do with anticipation. It's going to be awesome, guys. And for those that are left behind here, just hold them in your hearts and pray for them. And
thank you, Father.
They're really not that far away in the spirit. And hallelujah, Lord. Do something awesome, Lord.
Father, we just see you right here with us, putting Jim and Sadi on the plane, but already you're right there to greet them as they get off the plane. There's no separation as they're being sent, they're also being called. And so there's no period of time where you're not with them and guiding them and keeping them. That even as God is saying go, he's there in Panama saying come. And so we just thank you for that, the fullness of who they are. And today, we just speak in faith that they will quickly establish a home. That little dog that Saudi needs and wants, we speak that dog into existence. And the color that Saudi will bring into home and the life that they have that quickly down there, Father God. That they find the person of peace, a person of provision, even as they found here. With this body, that they find that. They find their way quickly, Father God. And that they don't look to build ministry, but they look to be, like Cecil said, life-giving individuals, kingdom people. That it's to establish life, it's to establish hope, it's to be shining light down there, Father God. So we thank you for your provision as they go, as they get down there, for the friendships and closeness and intimacy. And we ask for their family, their children that are here, Father God, for there to be hope, for there to be excitement, for there to be continued connection, to recognize the eternal connection, the relationship that's there with their parents, Father. We just thank you for that. We just speak life and generosity and provision over Jim and Saudi. The fullness of the Liberty Project, the fullness of the Journey Church Panama, that they will know exactly where to go, where to turn right and to turn left in Jesus' name. That they will not lack anything while they're down there. In fact, it will be an overabundance of provision in relationship, in friendship, in community connection, and in finances, Father God. We thank you for that. And we say we look forward to either visiting them in Panama or seeing them again here this summer, this next summer, God. We look forward to that. We take joy in that in Jesus' name. And so, Father, just as a blessing over our body today, just speak blessing and peace and grace over our mind, our emotions. And as we go forward, even at the journey, that we trust you. We trust you as an integral couple leaves, that we are their favorites. as we all say, we're their favorite. I'm their favorite. She's their favorite. We're their favorite. Even as they leave and there'll be a spot to miss, we thank you for that missing spot. And we thank you for filling it more and more. And we say we will trust you with what the church looks like without Jim and Saudi as a part of it and leading it with us, Father God. We'll trust you in that. And just speak blessing in life over our marriages, over our parenting, over our finances, over all that we do, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Just give him a hand as we... Thank you guys for coming. Go ahead and just, you can see them and bless them.